My chief complaint with this discipline was that it did not draw me, and as soon as I allowed myself to stop doing the daily writing, I stopped cold. Every journal I have ever kept has had that feel to it, duteous. I think this applied spiritual science is most useful to those who need an outlet to express themselves or to work through a process. I have many daily outlets of expression, as I have a large correspondence. I am expressing myself constantly throughout my work day. Whatever happens to me, I generally talk about to people as my life occurs, just by way of saying hello and sharing what's happening, if not to point an example in talking about a SERP. My need to journal is thereby diminished, perhaps. And then there is the preference I have for musing over thinking. I can think fairly well, but I am not by nature an intellal. I love to drift on the sea of experience. The value of journals seems largely to me to be in the process of the writing of them. As we put down what we are thinking, we are seeing things we have not really thought through before. I have a friend who is an author, and her writing is akin to journaling in that it is in the process of the writing itself that she finds out what her cheerers think. We are completing half-formed thoughts and processes in putting these thoughts into written form. Seldom do we go back and read our old journals, unless it be for their literary value or historical interest. 001 says, from time to time over the years I've kept diaries of sorts, sometimes detailed and religiously, but mostly in the forms of notes and jottings. Most of them have since been thrown out, since on rereading the reel, 423, chapter 12. Applied spiritual sciences value seems to be around the time of entry, focusing on dreams or insights or specific areas needing attention. 68 As in doing dream work, we are looking for the clues the subconscious is willing to give us. As we write down our thoughts, we may find ourselves surprising ourselves and informing ourselves. A fundamental assumption of this work is that this whole situation makes sense, and the journaling will help us put the puzzle together that all the details represent. Those of Lytos say, there is a basic program within the subconscious, and this too is heavily veiled in distortion. This is where the work with dreaming, with keeping a journal, becomes centrally important, for it is, shall we say, a metaprogram, in which you accept the socially unacceptable diem of a chosen path of service. 69 In searching for what we really think and feel, we aren't probing in a vacuum. We seek to know in order to serve. Seek indeed for yourself and your truth, but not endlessly. This is the density of choice, and it is negative polarity to seek exclusively and narcissistically within the self without having the intention to use that knowledge to serve others. We will probably turn to journaling as a tool for self-discovery in times of trouble. Often it puzzles those who experience these seasons of desert within, for the outer planes are halcyon and lovely, yet within all is certainly an arid waste. The negative reaction to this is often not true fear but rather a cold and gnawing discomfort, a feeling that one is truly unworthy, thirsty and unfed, in the spiritual sense. Again, it is well to make a friend of this discomfort. Even to allow some focus upon the discomfort, a writing in a journal, or telling to oneself of just how this feels, for by doing so, by being attentive to these feelings of discomfort within, one helps one's own process of recentering according to one's emerging truer. 70 That is the hunt. Our own self, at a deeper and deeper level of truth, until what we call ego is gone completely and more interesting things begin coming to view. Networking to learn who we are is to learn who our archetypes represent. One way in which we work with the conscious mind is in networking. I am not speak, 424, chapter 12, applied spiritual sciences ing of the meaning of networking which has to do with the broadcast of a signal over a communications network. I am speaking of the kind of meeting of friends and family that we do at gatherings and parties, on email and in other interactions with what the Ra called our other selves. I am a backwards child at this spiritual price because of a chiroeristic passivity that has me tending not to be assertive in seeking new relationships, but through the mails I have met wonderful friends, worked with fascinating people, and thoroughly enjoyed the process of networking that has occurred because people have been drawn to the material published on our website. In networking, we are assuming that these other people are not only universes in their own right, but also messengers who have information for us. That is, they are in a spiritual sense the inadvertent wing-footed mercuries of things we need to hear, kinds we need to make. In getting to know and being authentically interested in developing a sound and lasting relationship with them, we are also learning about and supporting ourselves. Such kinds increasingly bless all within them, and as we do that, we are working towards the global balancing and evolution of the planet itself, the service which entities provide who dutifully use the resources at hand to make kinds shall be those which help this planet in its birthing process. We simply caution each that in making these kinds no outcome be held in thought, no limitation placed upon the possibilities of any kin. Those who wish the most sometimes to aid a culture or society or world are drawn by their concern into rigid conceptual structures concerning ways and means of arriving at the goal desired. We would encourage each who wishes to press forward along this path of making kinds to continue seeking that intuition and sense of the heart rather than making great plans and carrying out this or that campaign conceived irrespective of kinds made spontaneously. For the social memory complex shall be builded one relationship at a time, just as when entities seek peace as a nation they must first seek peace within the self. 71 Networking has special applications, such as looking for a new job, or shifting locations. Trusting that kinds shall be made as they need to be made is, I feel, a balanced and good way to approach moments of worry. However, any good duck knows how to paddle. When there is a particular reason to make kinds, the tools of networking and numerous other avenues of communication await. The digital, cyber age may make us tense and busy, but it offers us many coping tools. I have a friend whose present business is coaching executives who are job hunting. It can be quite raw. 425, Chapter 12, Applied Spiritual Sciences Matic to become a fired president or CEO, and this man is especially skilled at turning worry to faith and a blue funk to positive iron. In the process of getting his clients remoralized and ready to go to work, he advises them to network. He suggests they write the people they know, letting them know of their situation, asking if they have heard anything of other opportunities, but also giving the other news of the day, the areas of thought and interest that are otherwise shared, any recent quotes that have been picked up and appreciated in reading or talking with people, and so forth. The goal is to make each kin to a real communication, a genuine sharing from the heart. We never know from what dire iron a good tip will come. If a tip never comes from that person, there is still the positive gain of that relationship's strengthening. Many networks exist, made to order for various needs. Are you trying to quit smoking or lose weight? Needing encouragement on a hard issue? Write your friends. Make kinta. Find internet interest groups. You will receive support, new thoughts, options to try to ameliorate your conditions, their new news to delight or evoke sympathy and fill your mind with something besides your own problems, and your woes will decrease. But most of all, be open to the new relationships, the friends of friends who find you, or the wanderer who rambles past your website. For each new relationship is also a relationship with the one creator. Much is ahead, my children. There is truly nothing that is not one with you, and there is no consciousness that you do not share. Yet each within a family is unique and each within the family of your sphere is unique. Many are aware now that it is time to feel the family working more closely together, and you have called this networking. Think of it as reunion as well as work, for in the instant a network, you may see the instinct that calls all to the family reunion. 72 This family reunion is coming along. I see, especially on the web, more and more calls for global meditations for peace and social justice. Light centers of various kinds are coming into dedicated being in large numbers all over the globe. Political sources of light seem to be growing. Each time we come to someone and talk about spiritual things or give metaphysical perspective to a knotty problem, on witness to ideals, We are sharing light. Each of those to whom we offer this encouragement may send that light on, and so forth, until the whole globe is increasingly wrapped in a golden net of love, support, faith, hope and encouragement. And we can do this as we talk to family and friends. For all things are sacred concerns if looked at from a spiritual perspective, and all beings are the Creator. This makes 426, Chapter 12, Applied Spiritual Sciences Networking one of the most accessible things to work on as a spiritual price. Those of you who give this encouragement, this process of what many call networking is radically changing the basic consciousness of your planet. We are happy to see this take place, for it has been our concern that the transition this planet is already moving through would be far more difficult than it is being. We can only thank each individual whom we have the pleasure of meeting, as we have met each of you, for the love and care you give to the cause of love. Remember as you touch each other's lives and as you go forth and continue this process, that the magic of life is much more obvious when each finds the groups or the new people that have a commonality of attitude and interest in the metaphysical. 73. Using the arts and spiritual practice, I have been a folk singer and backup vocalist in a rock band, and sung in choirs since the age of 4. I have even sung a little opera, as a chorus member. I was fortunate enough to have 8 years of noise rhythm dancing training as a child, and 6 years of ballet. These expressive arts gave to my childhood and early adulthood a golden glow that I cannot describe. The noise system is a discipline that embraces the natural world, and so my clear-cut summers at noise were a panorama of a barewood floor under an open roof, with a piano playing beautiful music, and us children dancing and swirling around its area and grounds, a sweet and placid lake, rugged but climbable hills, wonderful fluffy cloud skies and blueberry bushes and lilies edging the gathering circle. Each stone appeared polished with reality and solidity under my foot, and each tree frog sang his own warbling song. The movements of the dance would take me into the stretch of the starfish on the sea's bottom and up to the stars to leap and dance like a comet or to be a pendulous moon or a blossomed, branched tree swaying in the wind. I leapt my best horse leaps and humped my back with the brown bear, and tugged and played with movement until my body joined with my mind and spirit in a point of balance from which all was perfectly clear and perfectly beautiful. I especially remember the exaltation of dancing to exhaustion when, as a special privilege as the music counselor's grandchild, I was allowed to join the senior camp down the lane, where at evening playtime, the classical piano music would pour through the lantern-lit wooden pavilion and onto the surrounding greensward, and the barefooted women in their Greek. 427, Chapter 12. Applied Spiritual Sciences tunics would give themselves into the rhythm of the music, dancing with great expression until they were forced by sheer weariness to fling themselves down on the barewood floor and catch their breath. I think that in those times of dancing, there was a stream of information moving into my body at the cellular level. By the rhythmic movement and performance, I was experiencing an indescribably helpful aid to centering myself within the rhythms of living. Dancing and performing in general fed into my self-confidence in a way nothing else did for me as a child. More than that, I think it was helping my energetic being to align with the energies surrounding it. Certainly as a singer of the great sacred choral tradition especially, I can attest to the remarkable amount of power that can be generated by a group of people expressing together. Only rarely have I experienced the interaction of a or an audience, but as a singer, I have been in the middle of the music at times when it has moved me into the white light beyond all earthly things. I have left many concerts floating a few inches above the ground, still vibrating with the power of the music and the words that came through all of our choir or chorus. I have experienced tremendous power dancing to poetry as well as to music. The need seems to be for innate rhythm and pattern, however conceived, rather than a certain content, sound or form. This energetic alignment may be seen in a more fundamental price in the Sufis whirling dervishes. Proponents of this price feel they are gaining spiritually by this movement, and there are examples of this kind of shamanic movement in every continent, if not every culture. Our bodies are ready to be trained to rhythms. To some extent, all of us are instruments which we can play by moving our bodies. Most athletes who have taken up running, jogging, or dedicated walking have experiences of the euphoria and clarity of vision that accompanies muscle exhaustion. So this is not a price available only to the swift and sure, although an ability to use the feet really helps matters. From a wheelchair, I can say from experience, the options are more limited. But there always remain options. Here is Yuo's take on this. There are various ways of doing this disciplining of the personality. There are traditions within each culture, and within each religious heritage, that have called upon those practices which you have mentioned as being most helpful for the primary, or foundation discipline, for each entity that seeks to learn those lessons that are appropriate to it and to share them with others as a service to others and to the one creator within all. The chanting, the use of various devotional songs, 428, chapter 12, applied spiritual sciences, dances and other rituals are most helpful in beginning this process of disciplining so that the expenditure of the inpouring prana, or cosmic energy, may be most efficiently accomplished, for this energy is much like the power of the water that moves through the hose. If the nozzle of the hose is turned in such a fashion as to cause the diffusion of the water to move through in a spray, there is little power achieved. However, if the nozzle or the attention is turned in such a fashion as to cause the water to move in a small, boring, forceful fashion, then there is far greater power possible to achieve with such a focus. 74 In that sentence, boring does not mean stultifying, but penetrating or piercing. Rhythmic movement or dramatic performance, self-expression of any kind, renders us more and more able as instruments to make a discernible metaphysical tune, with resonance and timbre, of our beings. Even if all we are doing is a yoga session or simple stretches, we can consciously take the opportunity to tune into our bodies and give them the chance to express and be alive and in motion. David Gord says, "I spin regularly. It has been my experience that a clockwise spin, where I am the clock, brings energy to me and a counterclockwise spin takes energy from me. Sometimes I use the counterclockwise spin to clear undesirable energy first and then use the clockwise spin, in a different room, to gather desirable energy. 75 Watch children playing and we will usually see them in motion, expressing with their entire bodies as well as their beings. It is a skill we tend to lose more and more, as we grow older and feel less tightly and tautly held within our own bodies. Yet it does us great good to see ourselves as dancers, whatever our bodies' shapes, and to encourage ourselves to be alive in rhythmic ways. Since I have no apparent skill at all as a fine artist, having been told by my drawing teacher in college that I could not expect to pass his class if I continued to attend, I have never experienced the joy of painting. Embroidery, knitting and cross stitch are much more accessible for me, and sewing machines aid me in finding a modest feeling of artistic expression in creating gifts and small treasures. However, I know people who derive true spiritual power from their association with their muses. They create beauty by sewing, painting or other fine art or artisanship. If you find yourself drawn to these ways of expressing yourself, by all means fulfill those desires. For any time that we touch thread to cloth or paint to canvas, we are opening ourselves to avenues of essence within ourselves which can flow, in these expressions, out into the earth plane, not only as paint on canvas or a 429, chapter 12, applied spiritual sciences finished bit of stitching, but as a sweetness of spirit and a grace, or a statement of truth and power. Not artistic beauty is pretty. Those of you who say, we find much to recommend in the nascent skills of artistry and intuition which each seeker has also, and we encourage each to use the visual and auditory senses inwardly in creating ways of expressing the essence of the self as artists do when they produce the piyur or the song or the spoken performance such as the play, the poem or the dance. 76 Let us all be artists to ourselves. Let us look at the world as the artist does, For the artist's eye uses the magical nature of intuition and deep emotion to form kaions with the deepest songs of our hearts. And let us be rhythmic expressors, comfortable within our bodies to the limit of our ability and ready to move. Listen to the wild dithyram of O clap your hands, all ye people. The psalmists knew we must lift our hearts in rhythmic expression, and that there is spiritual fruit to be found thereby. Moving and expressing bring us into the present moment, and we come into our truer and fuller selves as we spin into harmony with the symphony of all the vibrant life of earth. Seeing all we meet as teachers, we have talked in a previous chapter about teachers and their wonderful use to us as we seek metaphysically. Here I want to include a word about seeing everyone we meet as a teacher. As those of you who say, there are teachers everywhere. The creation of the Father teaches 1,000 lessons in a minute, if you can but stay in talking to them. Each of your comrades is a Christed being, to some extent or another unaware of its true nature. But as it holds its hand out to you, the Creator is holding its hand out to you. As it expresses friendship and love, so does the Creator. 77 Marty Upson elaborates, we are all teachers/students/teachers, no? It is possible to learn more from a chance meeting with an unexpired stranger on the street who says one simple comment than from months or years sitting in a psychotherapist's office. There are a gazillion, read, infinite, number of, 430, chapter 12, Applied Spiritual Sciences Possibilities, Probabilities at Work in the Learn, Teach Teach, Learn Dynamic. 78. Who knows what speaker may give us the message that destiny wishes to waft our way? The devotion of student for guru too often fails, for each guru is also an egoic being, an error-filled person who is learning and making mistakes just as we are. We can easily become disillusioned in our guru when she disappoints us, for disappoint us teachers will at times. But if we make all who speak to us into potential gurus and sibyls of our destiny, then they cannot fail us, for they do not know they serve. We need to listen to all those who speak to us, and use our inherent discrimination. There are many teachers. There are as many teachers as there are entities and experiences, and each will teach with a certain voice, a style that will be unique to that teacher. Those words which have value to the student will find their way to the student's heart. This is why we always recommend that each student discriminate those words and concepts which we offer, and forget those that have no meaning, saving only those which ring of truth for that entity. We recommend that each student find those teachers with which the student is comfortable, for all teach and all learn. 79 Other people, say those of you, are often able to say to us those things we are ready and ripe to think, but have not formed into words yet. Those other selves that inspire and teach you are also allowing to move through them the same energy that is the energy of the deep mind's wisdom. In your illusion, you may look at all other selves not only as teachers, but as mirrors also, reflecting yourself to you. Thusly, those things that inspire you in someone else equal those things that would inspire you from within if you were able to have access to the appropriate depth and location within the deeper mind. When inspiration comes from another, you are listening to that which you have already thought but were not able to bring close enough to surface awareness to deliver to yourself. 80 I feel that we have inner sources of guidance which are always ready to help smooth our paths. Those of you who say, many there are of an unseen nature who cherish and watch over the Levites of those of your peoples as each day's Levites are accomplished. Each entity has those guides and guardians, friends and teachers in whose care the entity has been placed, in a metaphysical sense, so that there is for each entity a significant number of unseen. 431, Chapter 12, Applied Spiritual Sciences Hands and Hearts that join in your journey. In addition, there are those whose honor and duty is more of a light-bringing nature so that your experiences are blessed from time to time according to the invitations, shall we say, that you make with your seeking, with your desire. 81 We may depend upon these unseen presences, and upon their response to their realizing that we are aware of their help, and that we welcome and encourage it. Listen to everything, for there are voices on the wind. And they will speak dearly to us, if we have the ears to hear. reading as a spiritual practice clearly, we who are wandering on planet Earth are already reading a lot, and learning as much as we can. But what I hope to cover here is the art of reading inspirationally, and the further art of seeing all words brought before the eye as having the same kind of potential as all other selves have as teachers. What people write down, however carelessly, also bears their essential beingness, and may present itself before our eyes in an outwardly unpromising form. It is for us to perceive the possible use of such words, whether the newspaper or the mail, a magazine, a circular or a sign on the street. Words have energy, and if they travel to us, they may well have a message for us. Those of you who see the reading of inspirational material to be helpful, the reading to the self of material design to increase one's awareness of thanksgiving is recommended. Even repetitious reading of inspiring words is helpful, for sometimes those of humankind are resistant to feeling better about themselves, to accepting their limitations, and to continuing to offer the praise and the thanksgiving that is rightfully the one infinite creator's, who offered each of you and each of us a magnificent opportunity, the opportunity to grow, to be, to perceive and to appointate to. It is a challenging thing, to ask of the self that it redefine the world it sees in terms of spiritual values and truths which are seldom evident in the world itself. Inspirational reading is a reprogrammer for our thoughts, an entrainer of our mood and attitude. We will each find those writings which inspire us. Whenever we feel the need of them, we can turn to these sources of inspiration, what we love to read and muse upon. For me, that means daily reading. The UO finds dailiness a good idea in reading for inspiration, 432, chapter 12. Applied spiritual sciences. We encourage each who hears these words to take the self very seriously in terms of developing a daily practice that feeds the metaphysical self, whether by meditation or prayer, contemplation or rumination, the gazing at inspiring objects or the reading of inspired words. You will find these techniques of entraining the mind to be most helpful. 83. When we have found books, large or little, that work for us, we have found treasure indeed, friends we can turn to again and again. Some of the books I go back to are children's books, and some are whimsical writings done for fun. What they have in common for me is that they restore me to myself. They help me to feel like my whole self, when that self has had a tough and fragmenting time. One of the friends of my correspondence whose words have been my companions the longest is 282. A Canadian professional who began writing me in the early 80s and always looked upon his earthly work as that which filled the time, after which he could read and study metaphysics. He relates, "At age 59 I retired, having earned enough pension to live without working. My early retirement was an unusual opportunity to study metaphysics with single-minded intensity and devotion. Here, again, I think my higher self opened this door, knowing that I would respond to the appropriate catalyst, that the great challenge of third density illusion is to grow spiritually." 84. 282 saw this time of leisure in his life as a grand chance to learn, and from that point until his recent departure from the earth plane, he happily and devotedly studied. We have in the L. Research Library his extensive system of note cards, which are the result of all his decades of delving. Are these note cards going to be instruments of realization for another soul? Perhaps, for they are preserved, and ready to share. But their purpose has already been amply fulfilled, for as 282 wrote down the fruits of his daily study, he himself gained immeasurably from the study, and not simply because he was reading good books, but rather because he was looking at everything he read from a spiritual perspective, and he had a tremendous thirst for the task. Thomas Church shares this thirst. "What do I want to know? I want to know it all, now. I don't want to be a know-it-all, but I really do want to know it all." And to really know something, you have to feel it from within. It has to come from within. Things that I read or hear from external sources are merely confirmations of knowledge I have gained from within. 85, 433, chapter 12. Applied spiritual sciences. In the back and forth of learning, I hope we find the words that come to us to be very useful and provocative to further thought. In the largest sense, it is not just in calling upon faith, or visualizing, or working with dreams, or reading, or listening to teachers, that we are using applied spiritual science, but in every area whereby we move our thinking to a viewpoint that recognizes the aliveness and wholeness of the world around us, and that this world includes us as an integral and integrated part of itself.